For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I take as my text for today's sermon this portion from the 43rd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We're very blessed with the ways that we can read Scripture as Christians, and we have a tremendous inheritance given to us that I think we often take for granted, that we even have access to the Scriptures. I mean, think how long it was that people didn't even have a book, and how precious a thing that was if you even had one page of the Holy Scriptures. But we have access to it in so many different ways in our age. And it is for us a tremendous treasury and sustenance and strength for us that we should always approach it with, a dedication of time and effort that we can enter into it. Now, as Christians, we can read the Scripture in many different ways. One way, of course, is to look at it as sacred text. And so we can research the time in which the text was written, who it was written for. We can approach it as an intellectual and study about it so that we can, have a proper hermeneutics and interpretation of the text and understand these things. And this is an important part of our approach to Scripture. We don't see it as out of context. It has a sacred context. It is the God of history, our Lord God, who is moving through time to work his plan of salvation that is completely fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament is the unrolling of that plan, or the implementation of that plan of salvation. So we see this in the Scriptures. It is for us something to approach. And it may be not just, but we can approach it as, again, an intellectual exercise, sacred text, but we can also enter into it in a deeper way and move also on the heart level, not just the head, but also the heart. So it's not just something that we study, it's something that we begin to breathe, something we begin then to live. And it becomes for us then God's message to us in particular, in the church and personally, and that way it becomes living word. So this is a way we can enter into Scripture, that it becomes for us a dialogue with God, God speaking to us through his living word. Now, if you see the text that I just read and looked at the history of it, you would see that it was written by Isaiah in the second half of the 8th century. It was a word of consolation to the Jewish people who had been suffered a tremendous blow and trauma in the Babylonian captivity. Now, after 70 years, they were returning to the Promised Land, and they had God's message that had been given to them of judgment, that they realized in real time when they were overthrown by a foreign enemy, but now they're being restored, and so they are now hearing of his blessing. The remnant that is coming back is receiving his blessing. And he speaks to them with very tender words, and that is the historical context. We can see that movement in the Old Testament. When I look this up in my King James Bible, in the version that I have, it has a little header above the chapter 43 that says, God comforts his church. And so that's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? It's not just a description like God comforts the people of Israel, all those who came forth from Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who God renames Israel, and then all those who come forth from the patriarchs are now the chosen people. It's not just comfort for them, but now you see a Christian interpretation of this Old Testament text that God is comforting now his church. So these words can be a comfort now to the church, if we were to read them and understand them. Thus says the Lord that created thee, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine, fear not. So as a church, we can hear that word and see that God is speaking to us still, those who are his remnant people, those who are the faithful in our generation. And we can take great comfort that God, who is the creator God, the one who is omnipotent, is upholding us by his power. And we do not need to be afraid as a church. The church is, as Jesus said, the church is his, as we understand, the church is his body. The church is the body of Christ. And Christ is risen from the dead. And now in glory at the right hand of the Father. We who are engrafted into the body of Christ are indivisibly united to the one who is life himself and the one through whom comes all power. So we need not fear. Jesus gave us his promise that of the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, obviously, we see the rise and fall of different parts of the institution of churches. And certainly through history, we can see them come into great strength and then collapse, come into great strength, collapse. I mean, look at the rise of the church in northern Africa in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries. And it just expanded out tremendously until the rise of Islam. And then it collapsed. We can see that, but the church, the body of Christ, that will never be overthrown. The waters will not flood it over. The fire will not burn it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we take comfort in that now as Christians, that wherever we see the church threatened, in the church militant, we know that still God's truth will prevail and the church will not disappear. The body of Christ is secure and we are members of that body. So we take strength and comfort from that. We can also see not only do these words of Isaiah apply to ancient Israel and to the church, even now in the 21st century, but they also apply to us personally. And this is where we can gather up from Scripture our own strength as we move through our earthly pilgrimage to hear God speak to us and encourage us in our own particular time and place. So we can hear these words. If God says in the Scriptures, and we hear it in a devotional way, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I will be with thee, fear not. We see an example of this in the hymnody of the church. And so we are a singing church, and it's sad that in COVID time we're not, belting out the hymns like we're used to. That day will come. For now, it's a little bit sotto voce, and that's okay. But the hymns of the church, they instruct us. They teach us how to pray and how to make the sacred text of the Holy Bible a word of God to us now, living word. And so one of my favorite hymns, How Firm a Foundation, hymn 564, John Rippon, the author, in the 1780s. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Right? What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. So we find the strength, consolation, and grace in his word, in his living word. The words that Jesus spoke, and of course, the words that we find in the Old Testament, the New Testament, are Holy Scriptures. And there is a beautiful working of this chapter 43, verse 2 in Isaiah, into that hymn. And so from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress." So here the hymnist is showing us how we can appropriate and internalize and live this scripture. And that is what we do as Christians, not just head but heart. The living word now becoming part of our, not just toolkit, right, but part of our life, that we would be strengthened. So that if we do come into difficult times, these hymns can come back to our mind and inspire us to stay strong, to trust in God, to rely upon His strength when we're in a time of trial. We also see another verse where he beautifully encapsulates this phrase. So from chapter 43 in Isaiah, verse 2, "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." So we can learn from the hymns how to, live out these scripture verses, how to live out the Word of God. And so I encourage you to do that, especially in our, particular time and place where we're moving through a time of adversity. We need to find the strength that is given to us liberally and freely by our loving God. And we will find that through coming into communion with Him, not only in the sacraments, but also in our devotions, in our prayer. As we call upon Him in the words that are spoken through the prophets, that are upheld and lived out through the church, and that become then our word of strength as we grab hold and live out the Word, the living Word. So may God strengthen and bless you, come what may, flood or fire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.